This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, sitting in for Terry Gross. Many people compare being in a rock band to being married. The members spend a lot of intense time together and feel a passionate personal commitment to the group. Yo La Tengo is just that kind of band, and it's also a real marriage between the founding members, drummer Georgia Hubley and guitarist Ira Kaplan. For the past few years, the band has been a threesome with the addition of bassist James McNew. Hubley and Kaplan started their musical union 10 years ago when they played house parties in Hoboken, New Jersey. Before they started the band, Ira Kaplan was a critic for New York Rocker, and Georgia Hubley was in art school. Her parents are the filmmakers and animators John and Faith Hubley. Yo La Tengo's new album, which is their seventh, is called Electro Pura. Terry Gross spoke with them shortly after they finished touring with the Lollapalooza Festival this summer. Before we get to the interview, let's listen to something off the new album. This is Pablo and Andrea.
Critic Howard Hampton, writing in The Village Voice, described one of your recordings as the softest, loud record he's ever heard. Georgia, how would you describe the sound of the band?
Well, I guess I don't know if I would ever. I try not to. But, you know, that is one of the things that the people who know the band know about us, that we like to do things that are really noisy and chaotic, and then also do very sweet, melodic type of songs. And somehow, both those things seem to define the band.
Do you find that your listeners gravitate to one side of the band or another, that some listeners like the noise aspect and other listeners like the more acoustic or at least, you know, quieter sound? And do you have concerts where you just do one or the other?
I think the people who, like Georgia says, who like us best, at least, appreciate the way we can go back and forth. Just, we do acoustic shows sometimes, usually at, like, record stores or radio stations, and sometimes we also do just pretty much all-out noise shows, but we usually bill that under a different name at this point, just to kind of warn people that there really won't be anything song-related.
What name?
Sleeping Pill.
Uh-huh. How'd you come up with that?
Well, it was a song title. We had this long jamming song that we were playing live a few times, and we would open our shows with it, kind of just to sort of set a mood. And then we were doing this show in some city in Holland, I don't remember which one, and we had a really rotten time playing, and we finished our set, and for some reason people who had been completely unresponsive the whole time we played clapped sufficiently that we felt compelled to play an encore, although we weren't really exactly in the mood. So we went on, and for the only time I think ever in the doing this song, which didn't have a name at the time, we decided to do this long, slow jam, which I think very effectively said to people how we felt about the show. I mean, it's really fun to play, but it certainly was at that moment in a concert, was pretty directly antagonistic. And, the punchline is at the end of the show, some Dutch person came up to us and sort of sneered at us that your music is like a sleeping pill to me. So said, thanks. I guess we got a name for the song.
Well, it sounds like it was Dieter from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well, I am a master of accents. So.
Yeah, there's one of those in every country.
You formed the band when you met in 1985. What were you doing, each of you, before forming the band?
I wasn't really doing much. I think I was going to art school, probably, or just on my way out of art school. I went to a school where you could really just not go for weeks on end. I think one day it dawned on me I wasn't actually going anymore and then officially abandoned the whole thing.
And Ira, you'd been working as a music critic.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Ira, is it hard for you to start performing after being a critic? I mean, critics can almost get bored easily because they've seen so much, you know?
Well, it was hard for me to start performing for the same reasons that I didn't have a band. I mean, for whatever reasons, I always found it difficult to accomplish that. I think I wanted it so much that it just seemed unobtainable until really I met Georgia and there were kind of two of us in it together.
You must have found something in each other that made you comfortable about playing, considering you hadn't really been in bands, or at least not in performing bands, before. Am I wrong? I mean, did you feel more comfortable playing around each other than you had with other people?
Oh, yeah, well, definitely. I mean, for a long time, we would just play together without anyone around. And, it did take us a long time to play in front of people. That was a big step. You know, every step was kind of a big step.
What is it that you found in each other that you hadn't found with other people that you tried to play with?
I'm not sure. I don't think we've ever thought too hard about it. But I think we were just similar enough in that we both enjoyed playing, didn't care that we didn't play especially well, didn't care if the other person, the feeling we were getting from playing mattered more than what we were accomplishing. And I don't think we were very judgmental of each other, certainly when we started. Now we're ruthlessly judgmental.
That's Ira Kaplan and Georgia Hubley of Yo La Tengo. They'll be back in a moment. This is Fresh Air. Let's return to Terry Gross's interview with the band Yo La Tengo.
You have a CD I quite like called Fake Book, which is an album of some originals, but mostly of covers of mostly, to my mind anyways, obscure songs. Why did you decide to do a CD of covers?
We had been doing, as I've said before, these acoustic performances we would do at radio stations and things, and because they were informal settings, we tended to learn a lot of cover songs to play at them, and we ended up just with this separate repertoire of acoustic songs. At the time, Georgia almost never sang when we played our rock songs, but she sang all the time on the acoustic ones, and it just became this almost parallel band that we had gotten, some attachment to.
I want to play one of the covers. I think I'll play Here Comes My Baby, which was a hit, in the late 60s, was it? Mid-60s? I don't remember the date.
Yeah. You didn't get to see Georgia grimace when you said that.
What? Grimace why? Well, you don't like the record?
Oh, no, I like the record. That's maybe not my favorite song.
Well, I'm going to force it on you.
That's fine. I'm not hearing it, so.
Okay, the original hit was by the Tremolos, and I didn't realize till reading your liner notes that it was actually composed by the Dread Cat Stevens.
Yeah, I won a bet on that in a record store one day.
You said it was composed by him, and someone refused to believe
it? Yeah.
How did you know?
I'm one of these people who always read liner notes and songwriting credits and like to laugh at the jokes and the publishing company names, look at the messages on the inner groove. I was a very thorough record listener.
Now, Georgia, do you not like the song, or do you not like the original? Do you not like your cover? What's the problem here?
Brother. It's just, I guess it's, I mean, the whole record has a certain sound to it that I do like, and certain songs are just seem a little kind of peppy and just not my favorite kind of song, basically. And there are a lot of songs that I really love on that record that have just expressed more to me than that one.
Well, excuse me for choosing something peppy.
What you asked me.
All right. Now, my alternate to play was The One to Cry, your cover of the old Escorts recording.
Right.
Would you have preferred that?
You know, in a way, I like that one better, and I know they're not really that different.
That's peppy, too.
I know.
But it's funny, that one...
Somehow it's different for me.
It's funny, both of those songs are definitely songs that are more in my taste than George's. I tend to go for the kind of sappier pop song than Georgia does, I think. Especially the early 60s sound.
Mm-hmm. Is this because you're a few years older than she is? I mean, you're not much
No, I
older.
Think I'm just a bigger sap.
Right. Well, there you go. What, should we play The One to Cry now?
Okay.
What the heck?
Oh, I can't bear to be the one to keep you from my side. How could you be so cruel? You played me for a fool. But if I change my mind, then I will throw away my pride. So now what should I do? Oh, how I wish I knew. Oh, if I say goodbye, then I am gonna be the one to cry. Cry, 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 cry. Cry, 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 cry.
Georgia, I know that... your parents are animators and filmmakers?
Yeah.
And that your father was a co-creator, I believe, of Mr. Magoo, the cartoon character with the voice of Jim Backus?
Uh-huh. That's true. It's actually a pretty long story, but he used to work for Walt Disney, and then he left Walt Disney and formed this other company called UPA with other people, and that's where Mr. Magoo came from, and I think that was one of the original characters. And then he left UPA, and then he met my mom, and they started making their own films, which are not commercial films. They're well known in a certain sense, because there's not a lot of that kind of animation is certainly not in the early 60s, late 50s, and they made some really, really amazing animated films. But my dad died in the late 70s, and my mom continues to make animated films. And
so does her sister.
And my sister does, too, yeah. And I've worked on... Actually, my sister and I worked on a lot of my mom's films. And then my sister started making her own films, and I worked on her films, and blah, blah, blah.
Doing artwork or voices?
Artwork.
Huh. Now, the first time I heard the band's name, Yola Tango, I thought, oh, well, they play world music.
Yeah, you know, we weren't really thinking about that. We picked the name to not connote anything. I guess we were so myopic, we were just... myopic, whatever it is, we were thinking only in terms of rock bands. We thought as a rock band name, it would be very nondescript, and I think we forgot that there were other genres of music out there that it might be connoting.
So what does it mean?
I guess it means I've got it. We don't even speak Spanish. It was just something I saw in a book.
And that appealed to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there was also that element of we had an upcoming show and we needed a name like within 24 hours. Little did we know, you know, 10 years later, you still have that name. But
are you ever surprised by the talent that you have since you spent a long time not playing in a band? And now, I mean, you know, you play, you sing, you write songs. I mean, did you know you had that in you?
I just find it impossible. This isn't one of your Joni Mitchell interviews. I find it impossible to answer questions about my talent.
Your great gift?
Yeah.
Tell us about your unique special gift.
When did you know you had
this? I always knew I wanted to do it, and I always knew that in a certain sense, you know, I could do it, but I, you know, that, I, you know, that doesn't quite translate, I think, to the question you asked.
Okay. Georgia, anything to add about your unique special gift?
I do not think so.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Okay.
Terry Gross spoke with Georgia Hubley and Ira Kaplan of Yo La Tengo. The band is currently touring in Europe and will start a U.S. tour in October.